Good evening, everyone. Welcome to tonight's Success Team Call. It's Monday, May 13th, 2019. I'm your host this evening, Jim Tanner, dialing in from my home in Boston, Massachusetts. And what an exciting call we have lined up for you this evening. You're going to be hearing from Mr. Mike Riches, Millionaire Club member, $200,000 ring earner, as well as Dr. Danielle Russo. And we're going to be going to her in just a moment to talk about this month's book of the month and update everybody on the survey that you've all filled out. But before we do that, I just want to remind everybody or alert you, if you don't already know this, that the Winter Getaway 2020 Performance Club trip has been announced. It was announced today. Yes, indeed. January 3 through 5, 2020, we're going to ring in the new year in the Magic Kingdom. We're going to the Disney World Yacht and Beach Club Resort in Orlando, Florida. And we're not just going there. We're taking it over. 280 Legal Shield associates and guests will be invited and will be attending this incredible event. Now, the flyer is out in your back office in LS Engage under Resources. And there's a banner when you first log into LS Engage. You can click that right through to the flyer as well. Here's what I need you to know today as you're listening to the call. This event qualifying period is May 15th through September 30th, and all premium, which you'll see in the flyer, all premium points that you are going to accrue to qualify to be one of the 280 associates going on this trip are doubled in the month of May to really kick it off in the right way, to get everybody off to a big start. So, listen, if you follow me on social media, if you've been with Dr. Russo and I for any length of time, you know that Legal Shield has sent our family on some incredible trips. We've been to Moon Palace in Cancun. We've been to, I shouldn't start listening, I'm going to forget stuff, Atlantis in the Bahamas, Jamaica, Montego Bay, Jamaica. We're going to Cabo this summer. Legal Shield has sent us to Las Vegas on Performance Club trips. We went to Universal Studios and met the Minions on a winter getaway trip. I mean, just incredible trips. And not just trips, but trips where we are treated like VIPs, where there is exclusive events and receptions and food and drink and all kinds of opportunities to have a great time. And this will be no different. And we are excited because, if I'm just being totally honest, we were going to Disney World anyway. And we're just going to adjust the date so that Legal Shield can be in charge of paying the bill. So we're pretty excited about that. And I know that our little daughter, Olive, is going to be pretty pumped when she gets to go to the Magic Kingdom. And by the way, I haven't been there myself, so I'm going to be probably equally, if not more, excited when we attend. And listen to my language and listen to my voice. Take that as a clue. In my mind, we're already there. So when you see the flyer, you might have a few questions, but I want you to understand this. There is nobody listening to the sound of my voice right now that cannot qualify to be with us on this Performance Club trip. It's going to be an incredible trip. We'll be talking more about it, but you have to be at minimum Performance Club qualified in the month of May, because you have to be Performance Club qualified throughout the incentive period, which is May through September. After that, that's going to be the number one qualifier. After that, there are some other qualifiers to be in that top 280 in a few different categories, but what you're going to want to do is make sure that you have as a minimum, no matter if you're full-time, part-time, spare time, write this down. Be in Performance Club each month of the contest period. And by the way, be in Performance Club all the time. Your business will thank you for it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get the call rolling right along because I have a lot of great content to be delivered to you this evening by our guest speaker. So let's first go across my house or up a flight of stairs to Dr. Danielle Russo, who is standing by to talk more about Daring Greatly, the book that we're all reading together here in the month of May 2019. Please welcome to the call, $200,000 ring earner, platinum executive director, Boston University professor, criminologist, and you'll catch her, for those of you in the Bay Area, at Wire this week. So catch her there speaking live. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Russo.
Thank you, Jim. And I will just start by reiterating how excited we are about this announcement about Disney. So excited. Olive is already walking around talking about meeting Mickey. So we're pretty pumped, and I'm excited to see it with you for the first time. But I've actually been in January, and I will say it is beautiful that time of year. The park is all decorated. It's just such a wonderful time to go there. And these trips have been incredible. I know Universal Studios was awesome. We had so much fun, but this is going to be even better. And so I'm just so excited about that, and I cannot wait to go with everyone here with us. So start running for that, because we are all going to be there, and it will be great. But let me take just a couple minutes to talk again about our book for this month, Daring Greatly by Brené Brown. And I hope you have all had a chance to get the book or to get the audio and really start to dive into it. And I hope you are loving it so far. I think this is a great book and probably something different than what you're used to perhaps reading, particularly for personal development. But it really gets at some important issues. And like I said, work that is in line with the research I do and I'm doing. But tonight I wanted to talk specifically about vulnerability. And as you get into the book, you will know that vulnerability is a big thing for Brené Brown. Big part of her research, big part of what she talks about and what she sees coming out in the research. And I want to thank everyone who took the time to complete our pre-book survey. Really fascinating to see all the answers come in. So I'm going to talk a little bit, just briefly, about how we as a group see vulnerability. Really, really great to see all of your thoughts around vulnerability and what that means to you. And to begin, for everyone, vulnerability, and I think this is common across the board, is really very multifaceted, and there are both good and bad features to it. There is certainly fear and negativity that's perceived around vulnerability, but also a lot of positivity as well, which makes vulnerability a really complex thing. But when we asked the group to define what vulnerability is, the most commonly used words were open, opening, and true. So when we said vulnerability is, whatever words and phrases people were writing, the most common among all of us words were open and opening, and then also true, which to me, those are very positive things. So we're recognizing the positivity that vulnerability offers. One said openness about yourself. Another, knowing that there could be criticism and judgment, but doing it anyways. Really important. Showing up in the world. These are all things that make vulnerability what it is. So great. And many of us described it as courage, also faith. So all very positive. But then when we asked what vulnerability feels like, there was only one word that showed up above and beyond the rest, and that was scary. So all of us recognize that vulnerability, when we're in it, is scary. And that's real. That's absolutely real and completely okay. Someone said standing up for what is right and what you believe in. Very positive, but also very scary. Many described it as overwhelming as well, which is very true. So there's this notion of knowing we need to show up, be authentic, be real, to be open to judgment, but also to know that there is courage in doing that. And if you took the survey, you'll know we had two questions at the end that asked us to rate two items on a scale. So 0 to 10, rate these two items. One is, I am resilient. And the other item was, I am comfortable being vulnerable. So for the first one, I am resilient, our average as a group was super high, 9.38. So on a scale of 0 to 10, our average was above 9, we're a group of people that views ourselves as very resilient, which is great. There was a much wider range when we started to talk about and look at being comfortable feeling vulnerable. And the range there was actually 0 to 10. So some of us do not feel comfortable at all with vulnerability. Others are quite comfortable with it. The average there was 6.5, so just above mid-range. So full spectrum of how it feels to be vulnerable and our willingness to show up and be in that. And that's really the journey and what we're talking about and why we chose this book of really looking at what does it mean and how can we show up, be authentic, be real, and how that is what leads us to greatness. I'm going to end with a quote from Brené Brown herself, and this is from Daring Greatly. She says, "Vulnerability sounds like truth and feels like courage. Truth and courage aren't always comfortable, but they're never weakness." And I want you to hold that true this week in your work, in reading the book, in your everyday life, because vulnerability applies to everything. Because when we can show up in our life authentically, that is where the potential for real greatness lives. And that's not always comfortable, but it is never weakness. And I would argue it's actually the opposite. It's strength. If we can stand up, be authentic, and live into who we truly are, that is how we are great in this world. And with that, I will end and encourage you to continue your reading. Remember, this is one of our core commitments, so we should be reading every day. I know I do. Of course, Jim does. Reading or listening every single day. So can't wait to hear more feedback from you all about what you think about Daring Greatly. And I will hand it back to you, Jim. Thank you.
Danielle, thank you very much. I appreciate you joining us on the call and making sure everybody knows that I'm doing my reading. I wonder what you'll let them know if I'm not doing it. So I guess tune in every week and find out from my wife whether or not I'm doing what I'm supposed to do here in my business. So thank you again, Dr. Russo. Appreciate that. Daring Greatly has been a lot of fun. And I've gotten some feedback. Folks are discovering Brené Brown through, obviously, our book of the month, but she's obviously everywhere, TED Talks, Netflix. So I'm glad you're all enjoying having her as part of your personal development journey like we are. Speaking of my personal development journey, included is, of course, Brené Brown and all of the authors and people whose books and their audios and their trainings have come to life for me, but I am just so honored and privileged that the gentleman you're about to hear from is part of my personal development journey. And I have been so blessed, as many of you have, to be in close proximity, in the room when he's training, in the room when he's on stage in front of thousands of people. Sometimes it's in an intimate setting, just a couple of us, a few of us in a car driving to and from an airport. And always, consistently, pouring in to everybody around him. This gentleman is a Millionaire Club member. And when I say Millionaire Club member, it's easy to think about the money. But I want you to understand that you cannot become a Millionaire Club member in LegalShield without protecting people, without helping people get legal access, equal access to justice, without helping people understand how to protect themselves from identity theft, and what to do when it lands on their doorstep. You can't typically become a Millionaire Club member without serving first. And in this company and in this circumstance, I can tell you for certain that you must have a servant's heart to win here at Legal Shield, and specifically with who you're going to hear from this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome our very special guest trainer for you this evening, $200,000 ring earner, Millionaire Club member, Mr. Mike Richens. Mike?
Well, hey, thank you so much. What a privilege to be here with y'all this evening, and thank you for inviting me to speak on the call here and just share a few thoughts with you. I love this call, and I love this side of our business. Of course, I think those of you who have been around for a while and have gotten to know me know that I love the employee benefits side of our business, the B2B side. I love, you know, working with companies, and I enjoy, you know, really enjoy training other people to do the same. But as I think about team building and recruiting and sponsoring and trying to be an effective leader, I'm so grateful, and I know I've shared some of this before, but I'm so grateful that 17 years ago, when I was just kind of going full-time in our business, that my brother Mark really encouraged me and told me that I really needed to start building a team. And it's not something that really caught on very quickly for me, I mean, as far as the results go, but I started just really almost religiously engaging in some team-building activity. It wasn't my major. My major was out, you know, I was out there working with groups and working with employees and signing up employees, and that's really how I was, for the most part, qualifying for executive director for the first, you know, year plus that I was in the business. But I did start working with the team. I started doing a lot of recruiting activity, or at least, you know, spending about 20 to 25% of my time in that, but it was very regular activity. It was something that I was very consistent on, and I'm just so grateful for that. I really am, because you know, even though it took some time to really gain some traction, I started, June was my first month, but July was really my first full month, because we had gotten married at the end of May. This was back in 2002, and so we were doing honeymoons and receptions and stuff for the first part of June, but July was my first full month in the business, and it was really April of 2003, so, you know, what is that, about 9 or 10 months later, that I recruited my first, like, real serious person. And even though I had been recruiting, and I had definitely, you know, recruited other people in that time as well, and I had probably some people who did a little bit of activity, but I remember it was April that I recruited Ron and Wanda Mathis, and that was those were the first people that I recruited, you know, when I really went full time in the business, that really did something, that really jumped in, and I remember it was almost surprising to me. It was because I remember I was living in North Louisiana at the time, and I was going down to South Louisiana to do an event, and I remember I told them that I was doing that, and they said, well, can we go? And I was like, what do you mean, can you go? I was just so shocked that they wanted to go, and I said, yeah, of course you can come. But I was like, these people are serious. Like, they want to actually go out and do things and participate and be involved and be engaged, and I so enjoyed working with them. And then it was about 3 months later, well, it was July of 2003, so I've been in the business for about a year, that I recruited Marty White. And Marty, he was a real producer. He went out his first full month in the business and opened up a sheriff's department group and wrote like 65 plans, or, you know, so, right in that neighborhood. And I was like blown away. It was cool because I had been recruiting for about a year, but I was just starting to kind of really see the fruits from that. And I remember when that happened, and then just about 6 or 7 months later is when Brian Fahili joined my team, and that was another, like, he just got it. He understood it and was willing to work hard. He was willing to hustle up some business, and all of a sudden, I would have told you then that it was worth all of that effort that I had put into, you know, to building a team. And I don't know that I would have said that 6 months in, because I really hadn't seen too many fruits, but I did keep going. I didn't give up. And I think back, I could have easily just kind of said, you know, I'm not seeing a whole lot of results here. I'm going to focus all my time on doing group business and writing companies, because I was seeing results there. Enough to executive director qualify, again, doing almost, you know, at least the vast majority on my own. And I'm glad I didn't give up. I'm glad that maybe it was just because I was so young, I was 23 years old, that I was just naive enough to not give up and just to kind of keep on going. And I'm grateful that I was naive enough to listen to my brother, that what he said, look, you just got to keep on doing it, keep on doing it, keep on doing it, that I did. And And, you know, 6 months in, I hadn't really seen the fruits yet, but a year later, I had. And I'm so grateful that I stuck with it. And I'm grateful today because I've got such amazing people in my organization that I get to work with, that I get to spend time with, and that are, you know, so much more than team members. They're friends. I mean, they're really family. I really cherish the relationships with so many people, and I can't start naming names because it would take all our whole call. But I just really am grateful. I just am so grateful for the people that I know, and I'm grateful that this opportunity has helped to change their lives financially, and certainly my life and the life of our family financially. But I'm just as grateful for the friendships and just relationships and just, again, just wonderful people that I get to work with, and certainly wonderful people outside of my organization as well. But I think about the people in my team, and if I had stopped recruiting, if I had stopped, you know, consistently engaging in that kind of activity, I don't think I would have ever met any of them. And I'm just grateful that I've got those relationships and those friendships, and certainly grateful for the financial blessings that we enjoy from the hand of God every day. I want to share with you tonight a few thoughts on something that I really see kind of as, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a good way to word this, but maybe something that impedes progress for both people that are involved in the B2B side of our business and production, as well as people who are building a team. And if you're taking notes tonight, maybe I'll have you start just by drawing a little scale. If you can think of a scale that has a left side and a right side, and if you're not real good at drawing, just draw a lowercase t. That would work as well because it has a left side and a right side. On the left side, if you would just write the word obstacles. And on the right side, just write the word motivation. So obstacles on the left and motivation on the right. And if you kind of think about this, this is a constant battle that we face. We all deal with obstacles. We all have things that impede our progress on a day-in, day-out basis. Sometimes those are physical obstacles. Sometimes they're mental obstacles. Sometimes they're obstacles in our relationships. Sometimes they're just day-to-day obstacles that are normal. You know, decision maker says no, I'm not interested, or an enrollment gets rescheduled, or you're talking to someone on the team building side of our business, and you think they're going to be a superstar. You think, oh my goodness, this is it. I found my Scott Brooks. I found my Jim Tanner, and then they quit, and they're not Scott Brooks, and they're not Jim Tanner. You can always tell a rookie recruiter, by the way, because they'll say when they have spoken to a prospect. They'll say, I got him. This person's going to be great. This person's going to be awesome. Well, you don't know. You have no clue if that person's going to be awesome. They might have a real impressive background. They might, you know, look good, sound good, smell good, all that kind of stuff. You don't know if they have the stick-to-itiveness to be successful in our business. You don't. I mean, you just don't know. I used to say that as a rookie recruiter. I'd talk to somebody and think, oh, my gosh, this guy's going to be great. And then they join the witness protection program. I never heard from them again. And anyway, you know, whatever that is, whatever those obstacles are, and whatever your motivation is, and some of us have, you know, a very deep and profound why in this business, and some of us, you know, may still be working to develop that profound why. Why are we doing what we do? But as long as the left side is bigger than the right. And you know, I can see where this could kind of change. You know, it can be fluid. It doesn't always have to stay the same. I know, you know, that there were times, especially I think back to that first year that I was in the business, there were times where my motivation to go out and do something was higher because, you know, I needed to pay bills or I needed some money. And then, you know, I might go write a big group and all of a sudden, my motivation wasn't as high, and the obstacles may have been a little bit higher. But it can kind of change. It can go back and forth. But any time that the left side is bigger than the right, I believe that we will not achieve our fullest potential. Anytime that the obstacles in our path are greater than the motivation that's behind us, we'll never achieve our fullest potential. I'm not saying that we won't have some results, because you can have some results, but you know, whatever those results are, is that really all you're capable of? And if the left side is bigger than the right side, we'll never gain. We'll never achieve that fullest potential. You know, So let me just share some thoughts with you. Let me share some thoughts on how to get that left side smaller than the right. How to make sure that our motivation stays larger without having to go broke or be broke to have that motivation. I think back to that first year. That was kind of a big motivation, is when I was running low on money, I'd go out and work harder. But how do you have a paradigm shift? How do you shift away from that to where you don't have to be broke, but yet still have your motivation be larger than whatever obstacles might stand in your way? And I'll share some tips with you. Number one, turn your obstacles into motivation. Now, this requires a paradigm shift. This requires us to think differently. But really, if you think about it, any obstacle that you and I face can be changed into a motivation just by changing a few words. It all of a sudden changes the meaning. And all of a sudden can push us to do things that we wouldn't normally do. For example, someone says, I can't get on two conference calls every Monday. I can't be on one in the morning and one in the evening. I don't have enough time for that. Whereas other people say, I've got to get on both of those conference calls because I don't have enough time, freedom, right now in my life. I can, if it's hard for me to get on two conference calls, I need some more time freedom. I better learn how to do this business. I better learn how to be more successful so I can build this thing up and have time freedom that I desperately am in need of right now. Someone says, I can't get to Nashville. To Salt Lake City. I don't have enough money. Well, other people say, I have to get to Salt Lake City to the big event. I don't have any money. I'm tired of being broke. See that little shift, that little change? I've got to get to the big event. I've got to learn from the biggest leaders. I've got to follow in their footsteps. It happens on the B2B side of our business too. People say, I can't contact businesses. I don't have enough money to buy supplies. Other people say, I have to contact businesses so I can have enough money so I can at least buy some supplies. Some people say, I can't buy leads. I don't have any money. Other people say, I got to buy leads. I don't have any money. I'm tired of being broke. People talk about, I can't do the recruiting. I don't have a good internet connection. People use all kinds of excuses, but every one of those excuses, every one of those obstacles can be changed into a motivation just by thinking about it a little bit different. I can't focus on this business. I don't even have enough time for myself. Other people say, I have to focus on this business because right now I don't even have enough time for myself. And if I'm going to change that, it's going to be by this business, and this business is going to be my path to time and financial freedom. Whatever it is, people say, I have too many physical limitations. I can't do this. Other people say, I have to do this. My physical limitations will give others the courage to succeed. Folks, whatever it is that's holding you back, whatever it is on that left side of your scale, and some of you are facing some heavy obstacles, and I get that. But one key is you got to learn how to turn those obstacles into motivations. You got to learn how to flip the switch. Think about those things a little bit differently. And that's one way. All you're doing there is moving them over to the right side, and they become motivations. Whenever our motivations are stronger or larger than our obstacles, then we start to achieve amazing results because we are more active and we're more energized, and we tend to have a better attitude. Let's talk about one of the greatest obstacles that I think all of us face, really, at some level. And I say that, really, I'm thinking about that. I think all of us really do face fear, and that's the obstacle that I'm talking about, at some level. You know, we may fear different things. I like my brother's acronym for fear, forget everything and run, because that's kind of what fear makes you do, is forget all the motivation that you've had, forget all the, you know, the big why that you've got and all the training that you have and that you've received, and just, you know, run away. Well, fear is a very real thing, and it can be a big obstacle. And I want to share with you some thoughts tonight on overcoming fear. There are different kinds of fear that people face. And again, it's different for every person. I know for myself, when I got started, there was a great fear of the unknown. I started building a team. I didn't know what I didn't know. Certainly didn't know what I was doing. You know, I had seen my brother do a little bit of recruiting, and I tried to kind of mimic that and imitate that a little bit. But, you know, I had no clue. I knew that people were going to call and ask me questions that I would not know the answer to. I knew that I would encounter situations with my team that I had never faced before and wouldn't have the first clue about how to overcome them. And so there was some natural fear there, that fear of the unknown. And I, you know, I fully believe the only way that you're really going to overcome that is just to do more, is just to buckle down and do it and recognize that all of us face that fear at some level. But you have to decide, I'm not going to let that fear get the best of me. I'm not going to let that fear keep me from picking up the phone and calling this prospect, from picking up the phone and promoting the next conference call or the next event to individuals in my team. I'm not going to let that fear keep me back from trying to inspire and motivate and recognize my team. I'm not going to let my fear, and I don't know what it all is going to come, I don't know what challenges lie ahead, but I'm not going to let the fear hold me back. Because it's better to meet a challenge that you're not quite prepared to face than not to meet any challenges at all because you never even went for it. Let me say that one more time. It's better to meet a challenge that you're not quite prepared to face than never meet any challenges at all because you never put yourself out there and you never went for it. The best way to get over that fear of the unknown is just get out there and do it. Pick up the phone and call. Call away, go out and talk to people. They might ask something you have no clue how to overcome. Well, good for you. That means that you're doing it. That means that you're on the right path. Because every leader in this business has been there. And by the way, you're not expected to know everything in this business. Just because you're recruiting doesn't mean that you have to be a know-it-all. Doesn't mean that you have to have, you know, be the encyclopedia of Legal Shield answers. I mean, shoot, my brother Mark has been doing this for 20-plus years. He doesn't know everything. Now, he may not tell you that, but it's true. He doesn't know everything. I certainly don't know everything. Mr. Jim Tanner is an excellent leader. He's an incredible person, incredible human being. I'd love to have 10 of him on my team. I'd love to have one of him on my team. But the reality is he doesn't know everything, and that's okay. And that is okay. Here's another fear that people face, and this is a big one. And people say that they don't face this, but I really believe that it's more common than not, and that is the fear of failure. I wrote fear of failure in my notes, and then I wrote in parentheses, what if it doesn't work? What if it doesn't work? Because that's really what the fear of failure is. One reason that we don't take action is because we fear that question. What if this doesn't work? We don't want to mess up. We don't want to say the wrong thing. You know, we don't want to give this business our all because what if it doesn't work? We don't want to talk to friends and family members because what if we don't end up doing well in this? That would be embarrassing to have our friends and family members come back 12 months later and say, hey, how's that Legal Shield business? And us have to say, well, it didn't really work out. We don't want that failure. We don't want to be labeled as someone that tried and didn't make it. For some, it's easier to sit back and not put 100% effort in because it's easier to say, well, it hasn't worked for me because I haven't really worked the business the way that I really could. But here's what they're really saying. I'm not really failing because I haven't given it my all. And the reality is that is completely backwards from the truth. What we should be saying is I'm going to succeed because I will give it my all. And you know what? If for some reason it doesn't work, it won't be because I didn't give it 100%. That's how you got to overcome that fear of failure, is just understanding, look, I'm going to put everything I've got into this. I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to be a little bit vulnerable. Because, again, it's better to try and fall a little bit short than never to try at all. And folks, I know it's not easy. I know this stuff is easier said than done. These are real emotions that people face. I know, I've faced them. And the reality is you're never going to be successful unless you do put 100% in, unless you really put your best foot forward. And that means diving in. That means, you know, whatever you've been hesitant to commit to it. And make it public. Put it out there. Let people know. I know that fear of failure starts to creep in. I don't want to tell people I'm going to be executive director. I don't want to tell them that, because then what if it doesn't happen? What if I fall short? I'll be a laughingstock of Legal Shield. Well, no, you won't. Really? No, you won't. Because I've been on a lot of conference calls where, you know, leaders have been recognized and people have been recognized for achieving something. I've never been on a conference call that I can think of. I've never been on a conference call where we featured someone and said, you know, this person said they were going to do it, but they fell short. We just wanted to recognize them for that. Look, we all fall short of some goals, and that's okay. Don't not put yourself out there because you're afraid of falling short, because you're afraid of that failure. Again, fear of failure is what if it doesn't work? Well, here's the third fear that I believe is more common than we might like to think, and that's the fear of success. I wrote in my notes, fear of success, and then in parentheses, what if it does work? And I know that might sound a little counterintuitive. Some people say, no, I don't have any problem with it working. I would love for it to work. Well, having a desire for this business to work, having a desire to have success, is not the same thing as not having fear. The reality is, I think a lot of us face this to some degree. We face fear of success because in the back of our minds, and these are not necessarily conscious thoughts that we have, but in the back of our minds, we say to ourselves, or at least we think, if I become really successful, they're going to shine the light on me. they're going to ask me to, you know, to walk across stage, and all of a sudden, some of these insecurities that I have, some of my flaws and my inadequacies, are going to be brought into the limelight, that other people are going to see them. They're going to be more apparent. None of us love our inadequacies. None of us love our flaws. But the reality is, if you really want to succeed in life, you're going to have to do it authentically, flaws and all. And you're going to have to embrace the fact that every single one of us has flaws. And that's okay. I love this quote by Marianne Williamson. She says, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us most. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. I love that quote by Marianne Williamson. And the reality is, it's true. See, I really do believe that you have greatness inside of you. I believe as that greatness comes to light, some people might see some of your imperfections, and that's okay. Those imperfections will give others with imperfections, which we all have, permission to let their light shine as well. So understand what fears may be there. Accept that it's there. Know that it's normal. Everyone faces fear. It's as natural of an emotion as joy or sadness or anything else. Decide, though, today that your fears, whatever they may be, are not going to define your life. When it's all said and done, do you want to have lived a life shaped by fear or a life shaped by your persistence? So carry on. Keep going. Increase your motivations. Every day, focus on the big reasons. It can't just be money. It can't, you got to give get above and beyond money. And I know I said that earlier in the call, that when I needed money, I tended to work a little bit harder. But again, what is that money for? What kinds of things are going to change in your life when money is no longer an issue? Increase that right side. Get over some of those consequences. Tackle them. You can't tackle them by hiding from them. Face them head on. Recognize that they're hard, but turn them into motivations. Think about them in a way that's going to help motivate you to become successful. And all of a sudden, amazing things can start to happen in your life. Don't sit back. Don't watch this thing from the sideline. Don't put it off. Don't wait. Get over your obstacles today. Increase your motivation today so that tomorrow can be such a brighter future for you, for your family, for your posterity, and frankly, for the many people who will look at your life, all the great things that you do, as well as some of the flaws that you have. And they'll be able to look at that and say, I'm so grateful that they were authentic. I'm so grateful that they were genuine, that they were willing to step out and be that leader that they were born to be. Because it whether they knew it or not, gave me permission to do the same. There are people right now waiting for you. There are prospects that don't even know they're prospects, and they're waiting for you to call them. And they're waiting for you to share this opportunity with them. There are all kinds of people that will benefit from your success, not just you, although I want you to benefit as well, but others will benefit. And when that happens, you'll be able to look back and say, I'm so glad that I put myself out there. I'm so glad I took that step, not knowing where it would all lead, but I'm so glad that I took it. With that, thank you again for having me on the call tonight. I want to say God bless every one of you, and I look forward to seeing y'all soon.
Mike Richards, oh, man, thank you so much for joining us on the call. I just appreciate that. Well, listen, I know a lot of you are here on this call live with us. Many of you are listening to this as a replay. I know I'm going to be listening to this as a replay. I can't wait to start it over. As soon as we complete the call, I want to hear Mike Richards' words again, because that was exactly what I needed to hear, and I'm sure a lot of folks would agree with that this evening. Let's take the energy and the gift and the wisdom of Mike Richards with us forward. It's Monday evening if you're on the call live. We have an incredible week ahead of us here in the month of May. We have our weekly briefings. We have Super Saturdays. We have webinars and everything else that goes into building our business all around us and all surrounding us. Let's go make the most of it. Thank you to Mr. Mike Richards. Thank you to Dr. Danielle Rousseau. And thank you to each and every one of you for sharing your evening here on Monday with us and throughout the week as we go out and we share the Legal Shield story as many times as we possibly can and continue to pay forward the gift that was given to each and every one of us. Thank you and good night.